All right, folks, we'll open up the floor right over here to the...
To the right, Austin Ward, Letterman Rowe, and then Dylan Davis.
Ryan, are you tired of me asking about you winning with defense?
Stop. I knew that was the first question you were going to ask. Yes, I'm okay with it.
Where does maybe this defensive performance rank for you? I know that's early, it just happened, but from start to finish, that was about as good as maybe we've seen in your tenure here.
And they shouldn't have been out there at the end of the game. You know, that was not their fault. I thought, first off, the crowd was tremendous. You know, Gene brought it up, I brought it up. When the shoe's rocking like that, it's difference maker. I thought our players fed off of it. You could tangibly see it on the field. They just fed off the crowd. And we got that sack on JT on that fourth down. That was as loud as I've heard in a long time. And I just felt the toughness, the physicality on defense. We started off with, you know, really stopping the run and then forcing them to throw the ball. And, you know, there's a lot of people who did a lot of great things on defense. But I got to give Jim Knowles a lot of credit and his staff for, you know, the adjustments they've made. You know, that was you know, two top 10 wins now in the first seven games where our defense played really well. And I'm happy for our guys. I'm happy for the success they've had. You know, they came off of the last season with a few scars, just like we all did. But you're starting to see the confidence grow in a big way.
Over to the left, Bill Rabinowitz, Columbus Dispatch, and then Cameron Teague Robinson.
Yeah, since Austin asked the obvious question, I'll ask you about the flip side of it. Obviously, you're without Travion and Emeka. How would you kind of assess the offense? Seemed like it was stuck in the mud a lot of the day.
Yeah, number one defense in the country statistically coming in, so we knew it was going to be a little bit that way. I thought there were times we actually moved the ball okay. Didn't run the ball well enough. It didn't get enough explosive plays. We certainly, you know, could use, you know, Trey and Emeka back, but, you know, we had enough to win. And you know, we don't score there. We had a couple really nice plays designed for Devin, and he rolled the ankle there, and you know, and so was out for the game. So that kind of threw us off. But we still can't get in on those two, you know, third and fourth down plays. That would have been a huge difference maker. But you know, overall, just, you know, not good enough. But I got to give Marvin Harrison so much credit. You know, to go for 11 catches for 162 and a touchdown when, you know, I would think most teams, the first thing they look at is, how do I take away Marvin Harrison? And we targeted him 16 times. I think he was open on most 16 of those plays. And so, you know, he showed up in a big spot today again. And, you know, I would argue to say, and I haven't seen everybody play across the country, that, you know, it's hard for me to find somebody who's better in the country. You know, so, you know, I don't know, you know, how he gets on these lists or doesn't get on these lists, but to me, he's one of the most special players in the country.
Go for it on fourth and two there at the goal line.
I just, you know, when you're on the 2-yard line like that, I mean, I just feel like we got to punch it in. And the way our defense was playing, if we were going to get stopped, I felt like that was 98 yards for them to go, if you're playing the numbers on it. Plus, we got to get on the 2-yard line. I mean, there's no excuse for that. I mean, that's our expectation.
10 first downs for Marvin Harrison, too. Over to the right here, Dylan Davis.
Is that right?
Gazette.
Yes.
It was the same last year, too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Kyle is now one on the road at Notre Dame, and he gets another top 10 win here at home. Over here. To your right. Gets another top 10 win at home here. I guess, how are you just seeing him grow up in front of your eyes in moments like this, where obviously, you know, wins are wins, but moments like these kind of, you know, have added significance?
You know, he took care of the ball. You know, there was the one sack fumble that was returned for a touchdown. So, you know, if it wasn't a hold there, you know, that would have been a whole different game. So we got to get rid of that stuff. It was a hold. I think that's why he double-clutched it, but still. There were some really good things. He kept battling in there and, you know, did enough for us to win. But I know we're going to watch this film, and there's still going to be things that we need to grow on, and then things that we did well that we got to enhance. And, you know, we'll watch the film, and on Tuesday I'll have a better assessment of that to figure out if he graded out a champion or not. But, you know, I know we left a lot of plays on the field today on offense, and we didn't execute well enough in certain areas. Now, again, number one defense in the country, so you have to. It's all relative, so we'll look at it. And it was good enough to win, but certainly our defense put us in a great situation on offense to win.
Far left, Cameron Teague Robinson, The Athletic, and then Max Olson.
Ryan, coming into this game, you talked about Penn State's ability to just hold the ball, time and possession, and then methodically move down the field. They're 1 for 16 on third down today. What does that say about this defense that they don't give up big plays and they get off the field on third down?
Yeah, we did. I mean, 1 for 16 is just tremendous, and then 1 for 3 on third down. So I guess it's 2 of 19 for third and fourth downs. Unbelievable job. You know, I think that was the combination of the rush in the coverage. I thought Jermaine Matthews played a big-time game for a freshman having to step up without having Denzel in there. That was big. I'll forget some guys because there was just a lot of great play on defense. But, you know, if we can play like this, then that's championship-level defense. And if we can keep growing as a team, then, you know, we'll be tough to beat here down the road.
Over to the right, Clay Hall, WSYX.
I know it's 1-0 every Saturday is a goal, and it's a huge win. But in this era where you're always trying to angle for later on, it's a huge leg up in a lot of ways in the East. And Penn State had a win over Iowa. I mean, maybe that's not your thought today, but it could be down the road.
Well, again, you know, I'm sure there's a couple teams out there, maybe not, that have two top 10 victories right now on their resume. And I think the most encouraging thing, although it's like this back and forth, is, you know, we come out of this game thinking that, you know, we probably should have won the game by a few touchdowns at least. So I'm going to wait for that tomorrow. I'm going to enjoy this because it is, you know, you have to find these moments to enjoy because this is a top 10 win. And if you said, you know, you're going to beat Penn State today 20-12, you know, where do I sign up? You know, this is a good team coming in here, well coached. James does a great job. Manny does a great job on defense. You know, Mike, as we know, does a great job on offense. And, you know, they have good players, you know, NFL players all over the field. So, you know, like you said, the goal is to be 1-0. It doesn't always look pretty at times in these games. You know, I think about the last few games that we've been in against, or not few, since I've been here, the games that we've been in against Penn State, it's like it's kind of ugly early on, and then everything kind of happens in the fourth quarter. I know, Jerry, you mentioned that last year. Like it was 16-14, and the final ended up 41-33 or whatever it was. You know, so we knew we had to get this game into the fourth quarter. Tommy Eichenberg mentioned something in the locker room about how we have to be second half warriors, and if, you know, we want to take the next step as a team, you know, we got to finish this thing off the right way. Really good leadership there. I thought Cade Stover's leadership was tremendous. Xavier Johnson had to step up with a Mecca out again. Yeah, I thought he did that. Leadership is important in big games like this.
Another Marvin Harrison stat. He's the first player in Ohio State history to have five games of 160 plus receiving yards. David Boston had four. Over to the left, Max Olson, The Athletic.
Yeah, Ryan, over here. When you talk about Marvin being the best in the country, I'm curious, in big games, big weeks like this, what's his preparation like? What's his demeanor like today?
Yeah, you can interview him and talk to him about his exact routine, but, you know, people ask me, you know, a couple guys in this room when they're in the Woody during a Tuesday, Wednesday, or whenever they're in there, say, who's going to leave first, you or Marvin? I said, I don't know, but I always look before I leave to see. I mean, he's in there early in the morning. He's out there late at night. We'll practice, you know, however long we practice. And when practice gets done, you know, I'll go up and eat, and he'll still be out there on the jugs going through the routine. You know, he goes through every play, you know, just going through it in his head. He'll go out there and throw it with Kyle. Then he'll get on the machine that he has, which you should see this machine. He can actually feed it, and then he presses the button, and he shoots it to himself. Coach Mick made a rule that he has to bring somebody with him now, though. He can't just go on his own. But guys have embraced that, and that's something, it's a legacy that he'll leave behind is his work ethic.
Over to the right, Nathan, Stephen Means, Cleveland.com, and then Spencer.
Ryan, I think it was about 50 seconds left, and you had three timeouts at the end of the first half. Why just kneel it instead of maybe be more aggressive?
I just felt like we were coming out with the ball in the second half. I just felt at that time, we'll just regroup at halftime. I didn't want anything crazy to happen, you know. The fumble return for a touchdown was in the back of my mind. I just didn't want – I thought the defense was playing well. I just didn't want to take any chances. You know, it was conservative on my end. I agree. But the number one goal, as we talk about, is to be 1-0. You know, this is a top 10 game. And at that moment, I felt like the right thing to do was take a knee. It was on the 18-yard line. If it was on the, you know, 30-something maybe, I probably could have run it there. Just see if you pop a run. Yeah, I mean, if I did it again, maybe you'd consider that. But at that time, I felt like it was, let's get into halftime. Let's figure out what's going on. We got the ball in the second half, and let's go from there.
Over to the left, Nathan Baird, Cleveland.com.
First off, do you have any sense yet how long Denzel might be out?
Yeah, it was close this week. So we're hopeful to get him back for practice next week. And if he has a full week of practice, he'll be ready to go.
At the risk of being uncouth, is this kind of why you guys went out and threw a bunch of money at Jim Knowles to bring him here to coordinate this defense to win championship level games in this way?
Well, you know, the expectation at Ohio State is to be the best in the country, and you know, our defense, I think, has a chance to do that. And when Jim got here, I know that was what he wanted to do. And he's done a great job of installing his defense, you know, and you know, especially in the first year. But now, you know, he's really got a feel for the conference, I think. He's taken the next step with our personnel. And, you know, the guys are playing with confidence. And I think he does a tremendous job of giving them enough information that they need, but not overloading them and allowing them to play fast and confident. That was the most confident and energetic group that I've been around probably since 19 out there on the field today. You know, when the crowd was into it, I mean, just the whole group was just, you know, they had that look in their eye and they were getting the crowd involved. And a couple times I'm like, guys, they're about to snap the ball. Let's go get going. But I love that. You know, that's the confidence that is building week in and week out.
Got time for just a few more over here to the right. Spencer Holbrook, Letterman Row.
Ryan, I guess in that same vein, how much does this defense allow you to change the calculus in the way you're calling offense? I know that in past years, maybe, I don't want to speak for you, but you might have gone for a touchdown at the end of the first half. You might have kicked a field goal to extend it to 7. What has changed about you with this defense being as good as it is right now?
I just think in a game like this in particular, I you have to do whatever you can to win the game. And if you feel like your defense can flat out win you a game, then, you know, you have to make sure that you're doing your part. You know, you can't be selfish in that moment. As much as you'd love to just, you know, push the pedal to the metal, the goal is to win the game. You know, sometimes we forget about that. Now, you know, there's other times where you want to find out where your offense is and, you know, challenge yourself and grow and build and put them in situations to grow. I just felt like today watching the game that, you know, our defense was in control of the game. And, you know, if we could get a couple drives together and punch it in and control the clock, you know, it certainly had a lot to do with the defense, but we did have the ball for almost 35 minutes in the game. And that was well done. I just think that, you know, we could have been a little bit more explosive, and certainly not finishing that drive, you know, hurt us and you know, made it a closer game than it should have been. But, you know, in whatever the game is, the goal is to win the game. And the more confidence we have in our defense, that allows us to play a couple different ways.
Third row left, Pat Murphy, 24/7 Sports.
Ryan, Cade had a few big catches today. He's done that the last few weeks for you guys. I know Marvin gets a lot of the talk offensively, but what does he give you guys when he's out there making plays like that?
Yeah, probably one of the most valuable guys on our offense. You know, I mean, certainly Marvin is Marvin, but after that, Cade's right there. I mean, we got a couple guys in there that, you know, Cade does so much of the dirty work. He's such a great leader. He's such a tough player, and he's become a really good receiver. You know, 4 catches for 70 yards, some big-time plays. And so we got to keep finding ways to get him the ball. We got to keep finding ways to be creative, to do that for him. He deserves that. Probably could have done a better job as a staff doing that for him today. And we got to keep finding ways to be explosive in the run game. We got to do that. You know, if we want to take the next step as a team, we have to be able to figure that part of it out. Had a couple ideas with Devin. You know, losing him hurt us because I thought maybe in the fourth quarter, if we needed to do in a 4-minute drill, we could utilize some of those things. We didn't have it. We looked a little out of sync. So we got to make sure that we have a plan for that as well. So got to figure that out and hopefully get these guys healthy. But yeah, Cade's a big part of all of that.
Right here in the front row, Tim May on 3, and then Adam Rittenberg.
There you go. Ryan, I was going to ask you, what does it say about the toughness of your team, but I didn't want to get you going again. JT Tuimoloau in Penn State, and then, of course, Josh Proctor today also. I mean, what did you just see out of those guys? And we've asked you this before about what comes on with JT Tuimoloau when games are in the balance, so to speak, and speak to him, I guess.
Well, I think the first thing you notice when you talk about those guys, and just in general, I thought we played physical today. You know, there was a point where we were running the ball too on offense where we were being physical. We were knocking them back. Matt was you know, did some good things, not enough at the end, but early on. But the defense in particular, JT and Josh, I thought they were physical. It was more than just them. I mean, just overall, played fast, strong, violent. But JT, I feel like for him, when he gets into those moments where, okay, you know, it's a passing situation and he bumps out a little bit more and you know, his bucket's a little bit higher, like, here we go, because now, you know, he knows what's coming. And, you know, he can get himself, you know, those special players can do that. You know, they turn themselves up just a little bit more in those big clutch spots. He did again today.
Over to the left, Dan Hope, 11 Warriors. That'll be the last one from that side.
Ryan, what went into the decision not to use Dallin at all today? And could Travion have played if you had needed him?
Travion, no, he ended up being unavailable. You know, it was you know, as close as we could to the game to decide whether he could go or not. You know, we're again hopeful to get him back next week. You know, I feel like he is close, but check with Tony, and you know, going into the game, said, you know, if Trey's not available, you know, where do you think we'll go? And you know, we felt like if Dallin was available, you know, that we would consider using him. You know, Tony felt like those were the two best guys to go with at the time. You know, and I trust him. He's the running backs coach. We'll reevaluate it this week and see if that was the right thing to do.
And final question, Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.
Hey, Ryan, right here. Seven games, and you have some evidence of who you guys are. Yeah. I mean, what is the personality, and maybe how is it different from other teams you've coached here at Ohio State?
Yeah, you're right. I think the first thing is just an experienced group of guys that has been through the fire before. We've always been talented, but sometimes we've been young and inexperienced. You think about, you know, 19, 20, 21. I mean, really talented players. I mean, NFL players, guys who – you know, first rounders, but young. And sometimes playing against guys who are 21, 22, 23 years old in the COVID year, sometimes more than that. And this year's team is not only more veteran, but the third-year guys, those guys have played a lot of football. You think about JT and Jack and Tyleek and, you know, Mecca and Marvin. Those are all three third-year guys, but they've played a lot of football here. So the combination of experience and I think, you know, age and maturity is probably the biggest thing. Style of game, style of play, I would say, you know, our defense is really strong right now. You know, we have a big-time playmaker in Marvin. We have a super dynamic tight end who's, you know, doing a lot for us in both ways. You know, a quarterback who's growing. I think the biggest part of that is, you know, hopefully getting, you know, some of these guys healthy and continue to build the passing game a little bit more and the running game to be more explosive. If we can take that next step, you know, we have a chance to be really good and reach our goals.
All right, Coach, thank you very much for your time. Yep. All right, folks.